The noted short story writer Tobias Wolff tells the story of a young farm worker who goes out drinking. The young man ends up in a shabby hotel with migrant workers. Everybody's happily drunk, it seems. And then a migrant worker pulls out a gun and starts ranting, entirely in Spanish. He gets angrier and angrier. And suddenly, in that room, the narrator realizes he is in control of nothing.
That room, once you enter it, you never really leave. You can forget you're there. You can go on as if you hold the reins, that the course of your life, yea, even its length, will reflect the force of your character and the wisdom of your judgments. And then you hit an icy patch on a turn one sunny March day, and the wheel in your hands becomes a joke, and you no more than a spectator to your own dreamy slide toward the verge, and then you remember where you are.
Where we are is in front of a Tobias Wolff book of short stories called Our Story Begins. It collects older stories as well as includes some new ones. Mr. Wolff, welcome to the program.
Oh, it's good to be here, Steve.
Do you often feel the way that you describe your narrator feeling there, right on the edge?
Well, I've certainly felt it from time to time in my life. I think it would be hard to live, really, if you felt that all the time. But this story creates a moment when a young man actually is stumbling on to that feeling that things may not go as he plans, and that the sense of control that we assume from moment to moment and day to day is illusory.
He's sitting there with this guy. The guy's speaking Spanish. The narrator can't speak any Spanish. You write, "He was looking at me, but I knew he was seeing someone else." It's like the narrator has nothing to do with this situation, but he could end up dead.
And isn't that the way it works? I mean, the crazy ways that people do each other in this world. I remember reading in the paper something about a man in Mexico City who was killing lots of old ladies, and it turned out he was mad at his mother. Well, all these old ladies that he killed weren't his mother, but they happened to cross his path. We are all subject to running across the path of such a person at any moment.
There's quite a few of your stories, I realize, when you collect decades of them here, that feature mothers interacting with their sons, sometimes comfortably, sometimes very uncomfortably.
Yes, as we do interact with our mothers, sometimes comfortably and sometimes not.
I've just been flipping through the pages of your book here to get to a story called Firelight, which begins with the sentence, "My mother swore we'd never live in a boarding house again, but circumstances did not allow her to keep this promise." Would you describe what's happening in that story?
This is a story about a boy, 10, 11, and his mother who... they're obviously somewhat adrift, and they have just recently moved to Seattle, and they're living in a boarding house because in order to rent an apartment, you have to come up with first month's rent, damage deposit, all that kind of thing, and the mother doesn't have it. But the two of them fantasize about buying a great house, and they like to go out on the weekends and allow real estate agents to show them places that they couldn't in a million years afford.
They end up in a particular apartment that they probably also cannot afford.
Certainly cannot afford, no.
And there we are in a room with a mother, a son, and with the members of this other family who are moving out of the apartment. And you give us the impression that if every one of those five characters were to write the story, they would hardly have anything to do with one another.
Well, that's true. The man who is now holding the lease on this apartment is a professor at the University of Washington. There are hints in the story that he has failed to get tenure, and you can feel his rage. They're being forced to move on. His wife is loyally supporting him, but you sense that this has happened before and that she's getting a little worn out with it. And the daughter is somewhat withdrawn and bookish. And so, you know, this mother and son have stumbled into another story. And as the narrative proceeds, the reader begins to understand that this boy's story is not the only story at play in the world, and that he's beginning to have an apprehension of another kind of, in some ways, sadder story playing out between this other family.
Was there an event like this in your own life when you were growing up?
Well, my mother and I did, in fact, we used to wander around, and we did live in a boarding house in West Seattle when we first got there, and we didn't have two nickels to rub together. We were really good friends. My father was on the other side of the country when I was growing up. And we did indeed like to walk around on the weekends and imagine ourselves in these grand places. But the story, as I've written it here, is the decisive events in it are fictional.
Well, what makes it apparently a defining moment in this particular kid's life to be in a big apartment that his mom can't afford, looking at a big fireplace, looking at a warm environment, but with a basically unhappy family sitting there in front of him?
As he is lying there in front of the fireplace, he kind of begins to imagine himself as part of a family that lives in such a place, with a mother and a father and maybe even a sibling. So it just captures a moment in the life of two families.
Do you think that if we were to go through our own lives with the eye of a storyteller, that we could truthfully say that we have these moments, these little epiphanies and realizations of how our lives are?
Sometimes we do. But we also have moments in our lives when we're offered the chance to recognize something about ourselves or about our relations with others or our need to change in some way, and we reject that. It's these little turns in life that are so important. If you change the direction of your life by even a degree, years later you're going to end up in a very different place than you would have if you hadn't. Think of Shackleton, you know, in that little boat when he was trying to save his men and he was sailing from Elephant Island to New Georgia Island, with thousands of miles away on the sea. If he had lost his course by even half a degree, he would have missed that island and all his men would have perished.
This is the Antarctic Explorer we're talking about.
Exactly. And when I read that, I thought that was a wonderful physical manifestation of what we do in our personal lives all the time. We're always adjusting our course by a little degree, and we have to be alert to those opportunities to just change that little bit now and then. And as a result, you know, 30 years later, we're going to be different people.
The Book of Short Stories by Tobias Wolff is called Our Story Begins. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Steve.
And you can read a story from Tobias Wolff's new collection at npr.org/books. The story is called Bullet in the Brain. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montagne.